Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Chaplain John Durden this evening talking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to be teaching on the Holy Spirit. There'll be no questions and answers after these studies. Once he's over with, we can say amen, and we're going to see him again. Without any further interruption, Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everyone. God bless you. Glad you had the opportunity and the time to listen in on the teaching of the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I was trying to decide what I wanted to talk to. I was going to talk about the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God, how to hear the Lord, you know, the means of hearing the Lord and so forth. But the Lord had me to talk more about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is one that deals with us as God. He directs our life. He does the calling. He does the ministering and stuff like that. Even when we're casting out demons and stuff like that, the Holy Spirit gives us direction on what to do, not our own mindset. But it's the Holy Spirit that directs our life. We're supposed to give it over to him. He will tell us what to say, even when we're preaching and teaching and whatever else. We're supposed to be guided by the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, let me say a prayer right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come to you. We come to you that you anoint me this evening with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit empower me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And also, Father, may our minds, that is myself and the listeners, be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, would move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. And I pray that your words will bring salvation to those who don't know you, bring healing to those who are looking for healing, and for deliverance who need deliverance, and to all here in your presence this evening. And it's in the name of your divine Son, the world's Redeemer, Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. For those of you who do not know me, again, I am Brother John. Used to be Chaplain John, but I retired now 2 years. And before I became a chaplain, I worked 30 years as a resource person, personnel administration. God called me to the ministry of counseling when I was about to enter college. So I majored in human resources, which means personnel administration. So what I did was hired federal employees for 30 long years. I had federal employees for federal positions for 30 years, from 1970 on, 30 years later. And when I about to complete my session as a master's in counseling, the Lord called me into the ministry as well. But I did 30 years as a personnel administrator. And then when God called me to the ministry, I went to school and got a master's in human resources. No, I'm sorry. Got a master's in theology and a master's in counseling. So I have three. One in human resources, that's me employing people for positions, and a master's in counseling and a master's in theology. As a result of the master's in theology degree, I was the chaplain for 25 years. Amen and amen and amen. So I'm retired now for about 2 years. I'm retired 2 years. Okay, but before I get into it, I'd like to tell you something. I was, the Lord knows what we're doing. I always go to the Lord when I want to make a teaching or a presentation or whatever to see what he wants me to talk about. I don't go on my mind and say, well, let me see what I'm going to teach. Let me see what I'm going to share. Let me see what I'm going to talk about. I don't do that anymore. I confer with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit guide my spirit, tell me what to teach. The Holy Spirit tell me what to preach and so forth. I'm directly into the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. And in the session, I'll be talking about, you know, how Jesus, Holy Spirit, talked to us and everything like that. And you go, wow, you mean he talks to us? Yeah, he still talks to us, okay? He said, you have my written word. Some people take it out of context. They say, well, we have his written word. Like, we're not supposed to hear the God anymore. No, we have the written word so we can learn what he wants us to say. We look at his written word so we would know what he wants us to preach. We read his written word so we would know what he, so we can get understanding. It's not casting out, period, that he still doesn't speak to us no more. Some people have his written word, like, we're not supposed to hear the Holy Spirit no more. We're supposed to hear Jesus no more. We have his written word. Yeah, we have written word, but do what it says. And that's why we have. We supposed to listen to him. And sometimes when we come across a passage we don't quite have to go to a dictionary, you can ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to light, and so you can have that understanding. And then, too, for us to understand and know what the Lord Jesus wants to say to us, we have to recognize that we have to hear him. Okay? And, you know, to hear him is something else. That still goes on today, folks. Don't say God doesn't speak to us like that nowadays. We have his written word. Yeah, we have his written word. We're supposed to read and do what it says. And then he speaks to us through his words, but he also speaks to us audibly. Sometimes he speaks to us in the spirit, kind of a thing. Okay? Now, I want to say this. When I was first preparing for this session, not for this particular one, but for several times before, you know, I lean on trying to hear the Lord kind of a thing. And I remember years before, I thought I was raised up a Methodist and a Baptist, and all I heard all them years was that we have his written word. I didn't have the teaching that God still speaks us personally, like he does with Moses and all the other prophets and apostles. He still speaks us that way. So I want to say that Jesus said, for you to share the word when I speak to you, or when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, or when the Father speaks to you, you're supposed to hear them. And there are different methods the way we can hear the Lord. But he says, but for those who come to me, tell me, I want to see if Jesus can, if Jesus does speak, that's it. I'm going to see, I challenge it. He don't speak, that's today. We have his written word, and we have this, and we have that, and blah, 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 blah. Guess what? You know, I had that tone of belief long time, from the time I was 30 to the time I was, I don't know, from the time I was 20 to the time I was 40. That's all I said. We have his written word. I never expected that the Lord wants to speak to us personally like he does with his disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as his apostles. So anyway, this is what he says to me. I was going through some of my Bibles, old Bibles, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and a piece of paper fell out that I wrote many, 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 many years ago. And this is what it said. It blew my mind because I said, here I am teaching on, that time I was teaching on how to hear the voice of God. Yeah, that was one of the sessions I had several weeks ago, a month ago. But I'm bringing it to light tonight because it's important, because I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And how are you going to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do if you don't believe he still speaks to us today, how he speaks to our thoughts? A lot of times when you're thinking things, it's not necessarily you. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. A lot of times when you're thinking things, it's not you, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's a demonic thought. Sometimes it's your flesh. Your flesh, I still want some of that, these kinds of things. So remember, every time a thought comes into your head, you better know the word, because there are commandments and challenges coming to you in your head and your thoughts, and it's not you, because you're thinking it. No, it's not you thinking it. That devil, the flesh, our world, is using your thoughts. Speaking of, don't you want to go to bed with him? Don't you want to go to bed with her? Oh, go ahead, take out some of the money out of the offering. Nobody going to know, especially the cash. You don't steal the checks, because then you'll be found out. But we could take, and all these kinds of things. You know, I hate this guy. I wish I could blow him away. These kinds. God knew our thoughts. And remember, those thoughts are not yours. Those are demonic thoughts. Those are fleshly thoughts. God don't think like that. So when you think something evil or perverted, whatever it may be, it ain't you. It's the flesh. You is a spiritual being. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Well, some of you don't have it anymore because you don't know that once you start hanky-panky, like committing adultery, committing fornication, masturbating, and all these other things, the Holy Spirit is not in your body anymore. You got an empty body. The Holy Spirit ain't no more. The Holy Spirit ain't going to stay in no body do all these different things. But you know what? God wanted me to, when I started searching, do we really hear from you nowadays, Lord? And then one day I was going, God answered my prayer in a little sneaky way. I was going through my old books and everything in Bible, and I saw a note that I found that I had about maybe 15, 16 years ago. And you know what the note said? It was a note from Jesus. Listen to what it says. I got a note from Jesus. I got, while going through some old spiritual books and devotionals, I discerned these words printed on one of my old Bibles from years back. It was written in as a letter which I read, a letter from Jesus. And listen what the letter says. Now, this is a letter I found that was in my old Bible 20 years ago. It says this: "My son, I still speak to any child of mine who will humble his or herself and listen. I do not shout over the daily terminal sounds of the average household. My voice is not weak, but it is quiet and it's calm and it's severe. It takes complete surrender on your part before you can hear it." Understand? Complete surrender. I don't mean like I give up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about complete surrender of sin, body, mind, and soul. I don't mean praise the Lord on Sunday and then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you think of some hanky-panky following desires of the flesh, whatever it may be, okay? Lying, cursing, so forth. It takes complete surrender on our part before we can, what, hear his voice. I mean, surrender body, soul, and spirit, folks. I'm not talking about praise the Lord. And then you think of something or some chick, some man passed by, say, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, look at that. I sure wish I had that. I wish I had some of that." No, 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 no. Or either what evil thought it may be. It don't have to be sexual. It can be lying. It can be stealing. It can be planning. It could be downcasting somebody. These kinds of things. So it takes complete surrender, Jesus said, before you can hear me, before you can hear my Father, and before you can hear the Holy Spirit. You must surrender your soul, your body, and your spirit. And listen to what he says. I got to look at another paragraph in this little piece of paper I found that was in my old Bibles for like some 20 years ago. He says, "John, I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are interested in wanting to communicate with me." Hear what I'm saying? He don't want to speak to you. He says, "Oh, let me see if he really speaks. Let me see if he really want to speak." Kind of thing. No, he says, no. "I do not answer casual inquiries. Like, I'm going to prove he does speak that today or he doesn't. It is only those," now this is talking about who would hear his voice and that of the Holy Spirit. He said, "It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me. Only those who are living a righteous life and who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me, who will hear my voice." Dig this. He says, "Not the incitement seekers. Hey, y'all, I think I heard it, you know, kind of thing. Praise the Lord, y'all. I can hear God." Not that. He says, "It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice. Not the excitement seekers." Let me repeat that. He said, "No, not the excitement seekers, or the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk." Let me say that again. "I do not answer casual inquiries. Lord, can I hear? Do you still speak to me? Let me hear. One time. Come speak to me. I do not answer casual inquiries. It is only those who are persistent in wanting to communicate with me who hear my voice, and not the excitement seekers or the stubborn fool who sets out to prove or disapprove my ability and willingness to talk." And so with that in mind, I said, I came up with some personal comments from that when I read that thing. I came up, I'm going to share with you. I said, wow. And then all of a sudden, I felt led by the Lord, you know, by the Holy Spirit, to write a few notes to myself based on that note I just read to me from God. This is my personal note I got. Number one, I got four personal notes I got. God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage, our sex, our reputation, our position, our accomplishment. Let me say that again. I'm a triple crown this, I'm a quadruple crown this, and I'm a this, and I got 20,000 members in my church. Listen to this. God does not show favoritism to any person because of his or her heritage, his or her reputation, his or her position, his or her accomplishment. God sees and evaluates our heart, what the other people can't see. What he can see our spirit, see our heart. God sees and evaluates our hearts, the inner person. And his favor rests on those whose hearts, listen, his favor rests on those whose hearts are sincerely turned toward him. In what way? Whose hearts are sincerely turned toward him in love, faith, and purity. If you love someone, you won't cheat on them. If you love someone, you don't lie to them. And if you love someone, you won't dispute the person or disrespect the person. We're looking for those who will sincerely turn toward him in love and faith, believe that he is really the Son of God. He's not just some righteous man or somebody who want to be popping all that. But he turned towards those who loves him, who have faith in him, and who has righteous lifestyle. Then another one, three, I have. Moreover, God does not prefer the love, fellowship, and prayers of the educated more than the poor or the powerful. Let me say that again. I mean, this is biblical. God don't look at how many degrees you got or how many ump you got. He says this to me. He says, moreover, I do not prefer the love and fellowship and prayers of the educated person more than the poor or the powerful or uneducated. If you got a righteous man who might just be a janitor in your church or whatever, you love the Lord inside out, do everything, help you out, do everything else, and then you got some big-time deacon or whatever, and yes, God ain't paying no attention to him. God listens more to that janitor more than anything, and that janitor get more done, and the janitor's prayers get answered much more so than the person who got that big old pride attitude, whoever it may be. Because you can have a doctor in the church. I'm talking about a medical doctor. You can have a nurse in there. You can have a president of the United States in there, whatever. But if his heart ain't right, God's going to have God's going to speak to that gentleman more so than the big shot kind of a thing. Okay? Let me say that again. Moreover, God does not prefer the love and fellowship and prayers of the educated no more than the poor and powerful or uneducated. He don't give a flip about your education. He wants you to love him. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to have a spiritual mind, a spiritual soul that follow him and obey his word. Not some joke of pride about I got this and I got that and I got those and I got them. He accepts all, listen now, he accepts all from every nation who fears him and who do what is right. He accepts all or everyone from every nation, no matter if they're black, Asian, Spanish, whatever. He accepts all from every nation who fears him and do what is right. When you say fears him, that just means you don't fear him like he's a boogeyman. You fear him in such a way that you know that he can take justice when he needs to, but more so because you hurt him. You know, you fear your mama. You don't fear her because she can beat your butt when you're upset. You fear your mom because you say, Lord have mercy, I hurt mom. She heard about me. She heard what I did and these kinds of things. That's the kind of fear. A fear out of love for your parent, a fear out of love for God. You fear him so much, not because he's a boogeyman, but you fear him because you don't want to hurt him or her. That's the last thing you want to do. He accepts all from every nation who fears him and do what is right. And lastly, these are personal notes after I read that personal letter from God about I speak to men and women nowadays, but not to prove your point about I still speak to people today. In the last comment I had on this, I said, once a person turns his or her life over to Jesus Christ, it is no longer business as usual. Once a person turns his or her life over to Christ, it is no longer business as usual. It means walking by faith, which includes opening yourself to the miracles and the ministry of the Father, the Son, and the Holy, Holy Spirit. And as all you know, my session tonight, the title of it I have is the person, he's a person, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I want to share a few words about the Holy Spirit that Jesus said that we find in the book of the Gospel of John. All right, the first one, this first scripture I want to share comes from John 14. Verses 16 and 17, John 14, verses 15 and 17. And the subtitle in my Bible says, The Promise of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus talking to his disciples, saying, hey, I'm about to go back home soon, y'all, and I'm going to send somebody. Don't fear. I got somebody just like me. His name is the Holy Spirit. And he don't say it name is Holy Spirit. He say his. You think Jesus know a person from an element of two or something else? He is referred to the Holy Spirit as he. Jesus is not stupid. Okay? in verse 14, chapter 14, the subtitle is called The Promise of the Holy Spirit. And it says this, verse 16 and 17. And I, this is Jesus speaking, talking to his apostles, because he's about to be crucified and going back to be with, being back on his pedestal. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, that's Jesus saying he's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they seeth him not, neither knows him. But you know him, talking to his apostles, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. They receive the Holy Spirit. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, but believe. I live, shall live, or those who love me shall live also. Then he goes on to say, but the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom you, the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's something he said. I'm going to see when Jesus called, Lord, I can't remember everything he told us. He told us, he said, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance everything that I said while I was my 3 years in the ministry. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's a good thing he said that, because ain't no way in the world normal human being can remember everything Jesus said during those 3 years of his ministry. So he said, I will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. Peace I leave with you, Jesus talking. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I to you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I skip from seven, then I go to John, that was John 14, chapter John 15, it says this. John 15, verses 26 and 27. And it says this. This is Jesus talking. But when the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, calling the Comforter and the Spirit of truth in one verse. That's verse 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall all bear witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. And then the next one I have is John 16, chapter, talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. 16 verses 7 and 8 says this. Nevertheless, this is Jesus talking, I tell you the truth. It is expedient that you, for you, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart or leave, I will send him. And you notice he referred to those prayers, him, and he said, it, let me back up. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient because Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe the Holy Spirit is not a person. They believe it's like a like electricity. Like when you get to turn the light on, put a switch on, the electricity, and the light come on, that's where they see the Holy Spirit. As sort of like an electricity that brings to effect what Jesus has spoke. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is speedy for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that is, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then verse 8 says this, told me chapter 16, verse 8, told me the coming of the Spirit. And verse 8 says this, and when he, and when he is come, or when he come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. And then I jump down over to the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit gives me these scriptures. Acts chapter 13. Chapter 13. And, as it says, Brother John, Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 4. And it says this. And ministered to the Lord, talking about disciples all like that. And fasted. Listen to this. As they ministered to the Lord, praising the Lord and worshiping him and thanking him and stuff like that, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them, which means that he sends workers. Okay? He sends workers. He sends workers. And Jesus also testified about, in back in chapter 15, he testified about the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then I go to Acts 13:2-4 says this. So they being sent, they talk about you going and say you're going to Georgia, you're going to California, and you're going to minister there, and you're going to minister that. I'm going to send you this church, and I'm going to send you that church. He's assigned his followers to the specific plan that he has in their life. Some he assigns to churches, some he assigns out in the field, you know, as evangelists and these kinds of things. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, hear what I say, and back up. They talk about the Simon of Paul and Barnabas in Cyprus, you know, and say, and there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Money, which has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, as the Holy Ghost speaking, for the work wherein I have called them, for the work I have assigned them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they fasted first, and they prayed, and they laid, and the other apostles prayed on, laid hands on Paul and Barnabas, and said, you got to do what the Lord said, but it's the Holy Spirit telling you to do something. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, they parted from Lucia. And from there, they went to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue. So he sends preachers out. He sends evangelists out. That's part of it. He sends workers, those who believe in him. And then the last scripture I got comes from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we all know that. That talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 12th chapter, 12th chapter. Okay. All right, here we go. And it says this. Diversity of gifts, that the Holy Spirit gives some people the ability to sing, some the gift of teaching, some the gift of dancing, some the gift of counseling, and so forth. And listen to what he says. The Holy Spirit, he gives gifts to the followers. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, spiritual gifts, these are gifts that come from God, not your natural gift. He's a bone singer. That guy can really talk. Some of them got that gift of gab because that's their anointing. Some become attorneys because God gave them that gift. Some become eloquent preachers because they got that gift. God gave them that gift. So that verse of that gift, it says this, chapter 12, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Holy Ghost called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So anybody tell me Jesus the Lord, praise the Lord, Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit. But if I tell him, I don't believe that, I can't say that, then you know he's not being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, listen what Jesus and God, the Word of God says. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but some the same gift. And there are differences of administrations. But to one, manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, to prophet, whatever. For one, he's given his word of wisdom. Now, I'll talk about that. To another, the word of knowledge. These are different gifts. To another, the gift of faith. To another, the gift of healing. To another, working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. The guy come talk to you and say, this guy don't even know. He's possessed by an evil spirit. His flesh is running. Well, the Lord tell me this and the Lord tell me that. I think you need to do this. And a person who got the gift of discernment say, that joker don't even know it. That's not the Lord or the Holy Spirit. That's his mind. That's his evil spirit. That's his private spirit. You need to do this, my darling. You need to do this and do that. Did you stop and check with the Holy Spirit and see what you should say to that person? Okay? Did you? Or was your pride? Well, you know, did you need to do this, my darling? Go in peace. Thank you. Okay? Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of people try to go into that counseling. I'm not talking about just pastors. Hey, pastors, you know, when went into ministry. You got evangelists. You got teachers who teach Christian schools and colleges and universities. And you got teachers who are just doing everything. Then you got, evangelists, you got so forth. You got all kinds. You got singers, singing ministers and all that. And they're top singer in the ministry and the gospel singers, and they think they can tell you anything. I think you need to do this. Oh, thank you. Kind of thing. Okay. But all these workers that one and the self-made same spirit divided to every man, share as well. What he's saying is that all these little gifts that I just got through running through you a few seconds ago is that the Holy Spirit give some that gift, some the gift of singing, and some the gift of preaching. And you see all the some gift to play the piano, some the gift to play the guitar. And God give us those gifts. Because you see a lot of these, I don't remember taking any piano lesson. I don't remember taking any guitar lesson, everything else, but then come right out and play. I've seen kids 7, 8, 9, and 10 who can listen to somebody play the piano, they go to the piano house and play the same song because that's their gift, kind of a thing. Yep. Okay. So God says, I want to teach you, and not just we have a written word. If you have a written word, fine, read the word, but do what it says. But it doesn't say that I'm going to stop talking to you verbally or audibly. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Okay, what's the next thing I want to talk about? Okay. I want to say this about the Holy Spirit. We must remember. Let's see, hope my cell phone's still on? Yeah, okay. We must remember that we have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives in order for us to properly and accurately and precisely know the nature, the way, and the voice of God. Remember this. To hear the voice of God, we must what? We must perceive the Holy Spirit. We must receive the Holy Spirit. And that happens when we come to accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And then our body become the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if your body is not honoring God, remember the Holy Spirit vacated that place. That's like being in a drug place somewhere. So if you're not living righteous, don't think you got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit saying to me, no. Your body's not the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body's the temple of the demonic spirit that got you doing all those things the Bible says do not do. Okay. In order to speak for God, listen now. In order to speak for God, we must be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I mean, like somebody dump you in a tub under the water. You can be saved, but still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. But sometimes you're gonna be in a situation you don't know what to do, and if you don't know the Holy Spirit, then you're gonna be working and acting or reacting according to the leading of your flesh and of your fleshly mind. Holy Spirit wanna tell you what to do. He's our counselor. He's our comforter. The whole nine yards. That, I'm not saying that I don't suppose to use my intellect at all or my schooling at all, but be sure, he says, be sure that what comes out of your mouth be led by the Holy Spirit, because some people can read the word and they comprehend and understand it from their fleshly mind, or they start teaching what they've been taught in school. And just because you've been to school and this big-time professor was teaching with all these degrees and everything, that doesn't necessarily mean that is correct. He's speaking intellectually. Let me repeat that. He's speaking intellectually, like they always say, till I find out God has written down. We have his written word. He don't speak as if there's a bunch of crap. And, you know, I talked to 3 different doctors that had 20, 30 years under their belt, and they all said, we have written word, you know, and all this kind of stuff. He doesn't speak to us like that. And I finally went to the Lord. He said, they're in error, son. They're teaching what they've been taught. Okay? And then God told me and showed me what I need to do, which I'll give an illustration in a little while. You can be saved, but you still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. Hear that? You can be saved, but still need the Holy Spirit to hear and demonstrate God's power. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. Somebody, I don't know what to do about this, Pat. I don't know what to do about this, Deacon. Brother so-and-so, you're a righteous man. You know, I've been knowing you. You've been at church for many years, and you were one of those outstanding members that they have. My lady friend, one of the most outstanding women that they have in that church. What do you say about this? Please be led by the Holy Spirit, not by your fleshly mind. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature, y'all, to communicate through the believer. So let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate through the believer. God is a speaking spirit. And when I say God, I'm talking about Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature to communicate through the believer. God is a speaking spirit, y'all, not a speaking it. God is a speaking spirit. And through the Spirit, we understand spiritual things and the nature of God. Only through the Holy Spirit, not from our finite mind. Let me say that again. God is a speaking spirit. He still speaks to us. And through the Spirit, we understand spiritual things because God is intellectually telling you, giving you comprehension, understanding, or whatever you're trying to figure out. He gives you understanding. And more so, The Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, because Jesus said, I'm going back home, y'all. I'm going back up there. I had enough, man. I'm going up there to sit on my throne, but I'm going to send somebody down just like me. He's the Holy Spirit. And another thing that I had learned in my latter years, that when Jesus was talking to us down there in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I thought everything he was saying to the apostles and the disciples and everything else and to the people, he was coming from his spiritual mind as God. But you know what he was doing? He said, I only said what I heard my father say to me. I only did what I saw my father do, you know. And I go, what? And, you know, this passed right by me many years ago. I go, that's Jesus. Boy, Jesus said, and so on, so on, so on, so on, and so on, so on, so on, so on. And boy, I said, Jesus, got it together. But you know what? I thought he was doing it because he was God in the flesh. But he admitted this. I only said what I heard my father said, and I only did those things that God told me to do. Can you imagine that? Jesus, because he was a fleshly man now. He gave up a lot of his gifts and spirituality. And I said, what? And in my latter years, man, here I am. I just turned 80. And I'm getting wise that I'll be doggone all those years when I'm reading those gospels. I said, boy, that Jesus is heavy. Look at him. But he gave up all those, a lot of stuff. And he said, he admitted in the Bible, he says, I only said all the time I'm talking, what I heard my father told me to say. And I only did. So I lay hands on somebody sick and somebody raised me there. I only did what I saw in the spirit of my father did. I said, that is heavy, heavy, heavy. So that showed the kind of relationship he had with his father as the godly man. The Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature, because he's a he, to communicate through the believer. God is a speaking spirit, and through the spirit we understand spiritual things and the nature of God. Moreover, the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk. Remember, in our spiritual walk, in our journey, in our calling, and in our ministry, and in our life. That's who aid us, because he is full of wisdom, and he is God that dwells within our body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Moreover, as we embrace and appreciate the role and function of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in hearing the voice of God. We got to appreciate him, who he is, and these kind of things. He's the third of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit can communicate with us, and he can help us just as a person would when we ask, and when we must understand that the Holy Spirit is the third, like I said a second ago, third person of the Trinity. He's equal with the Father, the Son, in essence, period. Another thing I want to tell you, share you about the Holy Spirit. I go, wow, okay. See, because the Lord leading me different scripts and everything else. Say this, say that, say this, and show me things. Say, here's something. Turn to this, turn to that, turn to that. Get that book, get this, get that book, get that. And those different books will highlight more, give me more enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And when I found, he says this, I couldn't help but write it down. So the Holy Spirit performs the actions of a person. Of course, he is a person. He's a spiritual person, a spiritual being. Let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit performs the actions of a person. He does a number of things that a person can do. For an example, and boy, when the Holy Spirit showed me this stuff, I got enlightened. I said, hey, that's okay. I wrote down. So, man, you tell me what scripture to go to. Hey, go to John 15. Go to John 14 chapter. Go to Acts 13 chapter. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. I go, okay. Trying to keep up with the Holy Spirit, right? And then this is what I came up with. He showed me. He says, not only am I God, but I'm a godly person, but a spiritual person, not a fleshly person. He goes, I teach. So you find that in John 14:26. Not only I testify. That's found in John 15:26. He said, I guide my disciples. That's in Romans 8. He said, I speak. You find that in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I enlighten folks when they need it. That's in John 16:13. He says, I command them to do different things, like the apostles and everything. I said, go here, go there, go everywhere. They follow my commandments. That's in Acts chapter 2. Then he said, I intercede for them. I help them out when they need it. I tell them what to say. And when the higher up try to provoke my apostles and disciples, I'll tell them what to say. And then he sent workers. He sent workers. Well, y'all know who the workers are. Some disciples, some apostles, and so forth, and everything else. And he also calls. He calls us into the ministry. The flesh ain't got no darn old business. Tell me, I think I'm going to be a preacher. because I'm going to be in the church. I think I'm going to be a deacon. I'm going to be a deacon. I think I want to be an evangelist. I think I want to be a chaplain. I think I want, I think I don't, I think I want. You know, I think you got to be called. You want to be called, because otherwise, if you in the ministry and he didn't call you, you're going to be in the fleshly acting. You're going to be preaching 1 minute and screwing the next minute. You'll be preaching 1 minute, lying the next minute. You'll be preaching 1 minute, and you'll be doing all kind of stuff. And then when you're doing those things, then you know you haven't been called. But there's some who've been called, but greed and popularity got into their system. I'm talking about hospital chaplains. Many of them I knew, you know, when I was a chaplain. This is going and flirting with the nurses and all the other kind of stuff, you know. And you got just brothers got positions in the church. I'm this and I'm that. I'm this. I'm here to just to pop. I'm here to that to pop, you know. And come another day it's the hanky panky, you know. They call themselves into the ministry. But some, like I said, were called by God, but God had to take his hands off them because they were using their authority and prestige for the wrong purpose. Okay. The Holy Spirit was addressed as a person in the Bible. Jesus always said he. And the New Testament, remember, clearly shows the early Christians recognized and affirmed that the Holy Spirit, and dig this, Peter obeyed the Holy Spirit when he was commanded to go to Cornelius, you know. And you know, Cornelius was the military guy, and he went to his household, and as a result of his obedience, his family got saved. Now, with respect to the deity of the Holy Spirit, not only, remember this now, not only is the Holy Spirit a person, but he is also God. And we know from the Bible that as God, he is worthy of our worship and obedience. And his deity, which means godly, is demonstrated in part by the names of God, which are attributed to him. In other words, the Bible ascribes the attributes of deity to the Holy Spirit. And finally, the Holy Spirit accomplishes that which only God can do, all those things he's done. Okay? And I got, you know, and then God said, talk about the names. Okay. I got, when God identifies his name in Scripture, it is not without meaning. Everything he called him has a meaning. The first mention of the Holy Spirit, remember, in Scripture, identify him clearly as God. And the Spirit of God, remember that, and the Spirit of God, came upon them. The most common name, the third person, now you know that's the Holy Spirit, right? And then I started writing, going, this is good stuff. The most common name of the third person, that's the Holy Trinity, I mean the Holy Spirit, is called... He's called the Trinity. I mean the Holy Spirit. He's called a deity. He's also implied as the title Comforter. He's also known as the Spirit of Truth and the Holy One. Can you imagine? And so, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they talk about, oh, it's just a it. You know, this is like when God speaking, the thing came into being. That's his speaking, his power, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a person. It's God's direction and instructions going out. So be healed, whatever. See, well, that's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's like somebody stick a plug in the wall. But no. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an action that carry out the directions of God or Jesus. So remember, the Bible describes the attributes of deity to the Holy Spirit. And finally, the Holy Spirit accomplishes that which only God can do. And, you know, like I said, he has several names. You know, it's a Comforter, you know, called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, and those kinds of things. What else I want to share about him? Well, we know he's part of the Trinity. When we speak of the Trinity of God, we are speaking of one God in three distinct persons, each being God. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, and is therefore God. With respect to his works at the creation, the Holy Spirit, called the Spirit of God, moved upon the earth. And some people said, and they got it wrong, because you said the Spirit of God. They thought, because God is Spirit, they thought he was talking about God. And the Spirit of God, so-and-so, and the Spirit of God did this. And that's why Jehovah said, see, it said the Spirit of God. Well, see, they speaking and understanding from their fleshly comprehension. That's why no matter how many degrees you got, you better make sure you tune in. If you don't understand it quite sure, you don't know, don't be sure you check in with the Holy Spirit. Because in my younger days, I thought they were talking about God, God's Spirit, and, you know, at creation, and the Spirit of God move upon the earth. That kind of thing. Say, well, God is a spirit. Say, God moved the Spirit of God. Well, he's a spirit. You know, they didn't want to say the person of God or the man of God. They said the Spirit of God, just letting you know that he's a spirit. But that wasn't it what they were talking about. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, see. But that took revelation. Jesus and the Holy Spirit had to teach us that, see. So that's how come you need to hear the Holy Spirit, because you can take something out of text. At creation, the Spirit of God. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Not talking about God, because God is a spiritual being. You're not talking about him. You're talking about the Holy Spirit. At creation, the Spirit of God moved upon the earth. The Holy Spirit of God is also, listen at this now, active in the work of regeneration. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. So he is active in regenerating us, getting us to be saved, be born again, these kinds of things. And the Holy Spirit assigns gifts to us to show you some of the things he does. Because he's like working. Like if you was a manager or you were a pastor of the church, you're going to have to assign somebody to be the choir director, somebody to be the janitor, somebody to be this, somebody, all the offices that you have in your respective churches, kind of a thing. And you're doing that. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit been doing. The Holy Spirit is one that assigns ministers, preachers, evangelists, and so forth. And I get to remember this, that when you go into those spiritual positions, you better be sure that you've been called by God. Otherwise, it ain't going to work. There are several in the last couple of weeks that lost their jobs and everything. That's because they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So remember this. The Holy Spirit speak to us as followers. Number one, word of wisdom. See, the Holy Spirit, now, he's working now. He's acting. Here we are walking down the street. We are evangelists. We are just followers of God. We are preachers. We are teachers. We are singers. And we've got all kinds of positions in the spiritual world, Christian world. He gives some the word of wisdom, the word of wisdom. And you go, what should I do about this? And you get that, Lord, what should I do about this? He does this. He resolve problems and situations. You know, I don't know what to do about this, Lord. Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm going to talk to the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll send you the counselor. He called Holy Spirit counselor. So I kind of got out of habit a little bit, saying, Jesus, what about this? Jesus, what about that? Jesus, what about this? And I go, Holy Spirit, excuse me. You're funny, John. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you're my counselor, so I don't have to go to him and say, what should I do about this? But he said in his word that you are our counselor. So could you tell me what I need to do? Could you tell me where I lost my key, where I misplaced my keys? Could you tell me what I should do? But I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to tell this man this. What should I say? Anything. So the Holy Spirit will solve problems and situations. He also give a word of divine instructions and directions to give you to someone. He might want you to go and say, tell that person this, tell that person wrong, tell that person that he can get out of this situation if he does this and does that and whatever other kind of a thing. So the Holy Spirit will tell you, give you wisdom to tell your friend, your mama, your papa, your children or grandchildren, whatever, what they need to do to get out of that situation or to help themselves. Otherwise, it will cost them their life to some people, their business, their marriage and family. So you got a lot of people who just have just normal problems in their everyday life. You have some who have problems running their business. You have some who have problems in their marriages and got in a personal problem with the family. The Holy Spirit, you go to the Holy Spirit, I can't deal with this no more. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm ready to just ask for divorce. Or I'm just ready to commit suicide. I'm just ready to just run away. Say, no. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to tell you what to do. He gives you word of wisdom. Not only that, the Holy Spirit will give you words of knowledge. And when I say word of knowledge, what it is means to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit will tell you about people. He'll give you, say, what is that person? What is that person? And the Holy Spirit will tell you, Mary, Anne, whatever. That happens, y'all. I can't remember that person's name. They were so helpful to me in some form. And then you say, Holy Spirit, what was that woman or man's name? And the name will come to you. It happened many times. He gives you the names of people the Holy Spirit will give you, help you find things. I got down here, lost items, found. And I you can get many testimonies where fellow Christians I know who misplaced their car keys or the door key, whatever, and couldn't find all that, whatever document they had, said, Lord have mercy, I got to be working 5 minutes, I messed around, I lost that doggone document all night. When the world dark, and you run around the house, going back to go mad, and you finally say, oh, I know what to do. And get down and say, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, could you tell me where I put that thing, please, please, please? And then the thought comes, oh, especially my key, I got a bad habit leaving in the car. You know, I go in one pants pocket, the other I go one in the living room, the dining room, the kitchen. Where are my keys? And all of a sudden, something, why don't you ask me? They go, oh. I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, could you please, 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 please tell me, where did I have my car keys? And then the thought say, in the car. I said, I run downstairs, go to the garage, and there it is, in the club, in the ashtray. I don't smoke. I just have, sometimes I lay it in there. When I be doing things in the car, I lay the keys. Instead of putting it in my pocket, I put it in the ashtray. So he says, in the ashtray. And I go, wow. So he helped me to find lost items. The Holy Spirit, let's see. Holy Spirit will reveal people to you, whether honestly, whether you talk about relationships. He'll tell you whether that person really cares about you, if he's a hypocrite. That person trying to get into your pants or into your dress or whatever it may be. Kind of thing, just trying to get money from you and these kinds of things, trying to trick you like you care so much. And Spirit will address secrets about that person, and you know that you need to get away from that person. Oh, that person really is a righteous one. You need to hang with the person because you can learn from that person. And another thing, word of knowledge, under the word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit will reveal secret stuff to you. Because many times we be talking, and they tell Mr. Dirk, we heard you teaching tonight. And yeah. Well, you better know what you're talking about, because I got a thesis. I did a thesis in that when I got my doctorate degree. So you better know what you're talking about, you know, kind of a thing. And I go, I said, you know what? And the Holy Spirit said, he don't have no doctorate degree. He just lying. And sometimes we'd be teaching about demons, stuff like that. May I speak to Mr. John before you start teaching? Now, look here, son. I want you to remember, I have a doctor and a specialization in deliverance. I wrote many papers on deliverance, how to deal with demons, you know, and these kinds of things. And before he can come to the senator's where he said, he learned. I said, wow. I said, so you, I wrote many books. I said, could you give me a list of one of a couple of them books so I can get them, please? I really would appreciate it. Click. Hang the phone up. I had a couple of them before I came on tonight. Tell me, I got a thesis. I did a thesis on the Holy Spirit. So you watch what you're talking about, boy. That's kind of the thing. Okay. And like I say, the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, that means God will reveal secret things about a person, but not to get into the person's personal business that would ruin their reputation, cause them to lose their life or anything. But would tell you where that person really coming from, mindset and everything else. Then you know whether you should fool with that person or not. That they're trying to rip you off, or just want to go to bed with you, or whatever. Or would like somebody in your family, and he's trying to be nice to you so you can give them some good compliments so he can go with your sister, your mother who's divorced, or whatever. Okay? All right. Then he also give you the gift of discerning of spirits. Boy, that's a busy, busy being, the Holy Spirit. He gives them the gift of discerning of spirits. And when I say discerning the spirit, you can discern where that person really comes from. Let's see, what can I say? Oh, the human spirit of voice of self or others. In other words, the person may be of the devil, of the flesh. And when I say the gift of discernment, I mean you, it's almost like God tell you exactly the mindset of that person. Nope, he's not real. Nope, he's a liar. Nope. He's a fornicator. Nope. He's an adulterer. Nope. He's full of pride. You don't need that. Nope. He's like that. Holy Spirit just running down. You go, my God. And he says, well, I got to go now, sir, ma'am. You have a good day. I was wondering if I could take you out. I say, well, I don't think so. You have a blessed day. Goodbye. That's discernment. You have to know what kind of spirit that person has that talking to you. Sounds so intellectual and everything. Yes, darling. Yes, 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 yes. So and so. You got to remember that because he's very articulate, very good looking, he got to be the man or the woman you've been looking for. First, you can have that spirit of God on him, and then I can see God all over that person when he talks to me. Just because you got, God gave you the gift of discernment, the Holy Spirit. You can discern whether the person's spirit is right, is it devilish or is godly. You also know, you know where it's coming from every time you open your mouth. And then you would know whether that person's being possessed by a demonic spirit. You have to be really into the Lord to know. And I don't see nothing wrong with that. My God, you know, be real. Don't be so over-religious and all that. That's not God. I mean, that's not God. That ain't number the devil or the flesh. The flesh wants some satisfaction to the flesh. You can talk to you, not only demons, but the flesh can talk to you. I want to do that. I want to drink some more. I've been a long time since I had a weed and these kinds of things. And the Holy Spirit say, hey, my child, you know that thought that just hit the key in your head? Daddy, you, that's a spiritual being. I mean, that's a demonic spirit. That's your fleshly spirit. And you go and take that little bit, and then boom, before you know, she had overdose and died. And then Jesus got to say to you after that angel take you. Why are they having your funeral? Told me, gone to a better place. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. She's gone to a better place. And sometime, person be standing right next to me and say, that man is illiterate. This man here been cheating on his wife, on her husband all these years, and he died about heart attack kind of thing. So remember, you be able to discern what kind of spirit that person has. You will discern. And you will know who is your enemy and who is not your enemy. You got to remember that. Let me see, I suppose they teach from Shia from 8 to 8:30. I mean, from 7 to 8:30. So it's almost 8. I got about 30 more minutes. So I'm going to have to do a part 2 later. But let me go on. Also, the Holy Spirit gave you the gift of prophecy. What do you mean by that, Brother John? The Holy Spirit, the prophecy. Now, what is the prophecy? Well, prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God. In other words, some person walk up to you, Susie, Helen, whatever. Do you know God told me to tell you this, tell you that? And God said to be strong, that it's not over. The person that comes to you say some good things that encourage you. See, I'm talking about the gift of prophecy. God will tell you to go to that sister in the Lord or that brother in the Lord, and you give them words of encouragement. And then he especially gives it to the pastor. The pastor, honey, come here. Let me tell you what the Lord told me, kind of a thing. Thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate it. Say, don't thank me. Thank the Lord. I'm quick to say that. Don't thank me. Thank the Lord, kind of a thing. So that's the gift of prophecy that the Holy Ghost gives. Many, 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 many numerous pastors, I mean real godly pastors, got that gift because God would tell them what they can say to encourage that person. Darling, come here. Thus says the Lord God, so and so and so on. And they have that gift to comfort a person or a group of people at a particular time. In other words, man, you come in here, Lord, and you go to church, you set up your altar and everything else, sit in your office, and you go. And then when you get through with the sermon, you can walk up to you to a pastor. I feel like you're talking to me personally. I mean, you really touched my heart, touched my spirit, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's because the pastor had the gift of prophecy at that hour. God was putting his thoughts into this man's thought. That's how God speaks. That's something. Hey, pastor, this is Jesus. You say this, and I want you to say that, and I want you to say those, and I want you to say them. Don't work that way. Sometimes a thought comes and say, I never thought of that. And then you say it, and you touch somebody's heart because somebody says, Lord, what should I do about this? Lord, do you love me? And you say, the Lord says he loves you, but someone, hon. And the Lord says that's the Lord. And you be ministering to 20, 30, 40 people who got the same problem, and that's why you don't even know it. That's the gift of discernment. That means you didn't say what you had planned. You sat up all night what you're going to say, writing on a little piece of paper every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday you get up in the pulpit. Half that stuff was written by the Holy Spirit. So you got to remember, all thoughts that come into your head is not necessarily your thoughts. It was the Holy Spirit telling you what to say, you see. And you can tell, especially when you come to, and they all just grab you, hug you. I really enjoy that, sir. Sounds like you're really talking to me. And you say, well, praise the Lord. I don't even remember having that. I don't even remember saying that. I know a lot of John, I don't remember saying that to them. You know, that's because it wasn't them. It was the Holy Spirit. And I'm pretty sure all of you had one time in your life, more than once, where you went in your parishioner and said, I really enjoyed it. He sounded like he was talking to me. But when they say that to you, don't go, stick up your chest. All right, amen. I'm the man. No, just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He was inspired to say what you said. So the gift of prophecy means God give you the gift where you assist someone when they feel weak. You encourage someone when they need encouragement. And you may comfort a person or a group of people at a particular time, like in church service. And, boy, like nobody wants to go home, man, they hug you. You know, when you stay in line, they but exit the church and they come and hug you. I've really enjoyed the pastor. Praise the Lord. You know, every kind of thing. You say, Lord Jesus, you really worked through me today. You say, yes, yes, yes. I'm the man. I'm the man. Don't you dare say that. Don't you dare. So God said, oh, yeah, really? Well, let me show you a thing or two. And then you have a number of confusion for several weeks after that. Because what is the Bible say? Pride comes before a fall, right? So if you don't know if it's you or God, give it credit to God. You know what I'm saying? Brother John, I really like your teaching. I say, praise the Lord. You know, that was, I said, give God glory. I'm not trying to sound religious. I'm just making sure that I don't try to steal a height, a ride on a height on what the Holy Spirit told me to say. And I know darn well it wasn't me. I couldn't think that deep kind of thing. All right. So that's the gift of prophecy. God will give you words of encouragement, words to strengthen those folks. And that's what the Holy Spirit would do. He cared you to comfort a person or a group of people. When you have special sessions, you may have a meeting with your deacons. The choir director may have a meeting with their choir members. Not just everything I'm saying is not only applicable to pastors. It applies to every leader in the church and those who are not in the church. But they are leaders in their respective jobs and occupation and everything else. And those people need to see God and the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about just theologians. I'm talking to evangelists, and choir singers in the choir, sister so-and-so and sister so-and-so and brother this and brother that and chaplain this and deacon that. I'm talking to all of them, okay? That's what God told me to do. I'm not talking to the pastor. I'm talking to everybody who say that Jesus is their Lord. So when you get the gift of prophecy, because everybody can get that gift. Well, you just look at 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter and say, some I give the gift of tongues, some the gift of interpretation of tongues, some the gift of discernment, some the gift of prophecy. And you look at all this, wow. What gift did he give me? That's what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is one that assigned all those different gifts. And then you got the last one, you got gift of various kinds of tongues to another speaking different kinds of tongues. And when you speak in the tongues, it's not you. That's the Holy Spirit really, really, really taking over, you know? Because I can't speak in tongues. Naturally, you can't speak in tongues. It's the Holy Spirit speaking using your mouth and your tongue, you know? And for 30 years, I was told we don't have tongues nowadays. We don't need tongues kind of thing. But if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10, it talk about some give the gift of tongues. And I go, and they say, well, tongues not relevant today, John. We have his written word. I say, yeah. Now, remember, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. All you got to do is follow the Lord and do the word of God. That's a gift that God want to give you, the gift of tongues, because God may want to speak through you to somebody. And then when you speak in tongues, somebody standing there going to be understanding what God said to you in tongues, you know, kind of a thing. So don't Peter, the Holy Spirit, of course, it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the tongue thing, okay? Hell, tongue, we have a written word. And the Holy Spirit said, tell him, say, well, why don't you do it? It says, you should not forbid anyone speaking in tongues. The word of God says that too, you see. It's like in my case, I was sitting under a minister in my down in Savannah where I'm from for 20 years, from a child up to a grown man, 25 years of age, and all I heard was, we have a good word. I'm not trying to put anybody down, because a lot of people, and don't get mad at your pastors, because I'm rebuking what he's saying, some of us who's teaching that, because he's teaching what he's been taught. You have your children. Now take some races. You got white family members telling children, don't mess with no niggas, they're ignorant, they're stupid, they stink, they're funky, and so on, so on, so on. We're going to make sure they don't vote because we don't want them to be over us, they under us, and all this kind of crap, you know? Well, they're not acting out of ignorance. They're acting out of what they really believe in their spirit. Some of them are, but the majority of them, they tell them niggas are dumb, stupid, and that kind of crap, and they work for their mama and their daddy, and in some of their churches, they teach that crap. Just like in most of the church is the most discriminated organization in this country. The church is the most discriminating business in this country. The whites go to their church and the blacks go to their churches. This kind of thing. and no such thing. We're all supposed to be just together worshiping the Lord. He created us all, black, white, blue, purple, whatever kind of a thing. You see, so you can be taught errors, and most of them in my days, even I was taught that in school. And even when I was in seminary, I went to God called me to minister, and I was 40. And I'm sitting there in the thing, and he talking about what do you say? Oh, tongues do not exist nowadays, and so on, so on, so on, and these kinds of things. It just sounded, I said, Lord, why can't I accept it? I heard that 20 years I was a Methodist, yeah. And for 15 years I was a Baptist, so you called me into the ministry, and I was going to teach about tongues that don't exist. Then finally you pricked my spirit, and when I couldn't sleep, said, that is an error, my son. And I let jump in my car and said, go home and see your sister. I didn't know my sister went to a non-denominational church, and I went there. And she said, you mean you don't believe in tongues? And we have this verse. You need to. She called her pastor. This is a sad evening. She said, bring him to the church. So I said, I'll challenge him. No problem. I mean, we have his written word, pastor. He says, the only person who get it is the one who believes that God's gifts are still available to us today. Jesus told us in the gospel that go and preach the word, lay hands on the sick, speak in tongues, and interpret the whole nine yards. But modern-day ministers and philosophers and all of them, that's not for us in the first century. But if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, look at verse 8, 9, and 10. 8 says that tongues will cease, interpretation of tongues will cease, and knowledge will cease and everything, but the devil slipped. Why everybody say when they look at those three things about prophecy, knowledge, you know, stuff like that, and it says tongues will cease, knowledge will cease, and prophecy will cease and everything. Did you know that nobody was going to talk? Haven't you heard you're dumb? Are you a dummy? It says knowledge will cease. Well, you didn't say that. Just like tongue. You look at it, it says, it gives three things. It says prophecy, tongues, and I can't remember the third one, or the second, I said it a few minutes ago. But tongues have, knowledge. The devil will say, haven't you heard knowledge has ceased? Look what much knowledge mankind gotten since the first century, huh? But you know, knowledge is right next to tongues. Will cease, and knowledge will cease. Now, the word will, it didn't say has. Look at it. I don't care which version either. They're going to say tongue has, will, or tongue shall. And when I talk to my English teacher, when I look at all my English books, the will and shall is future tense. And when you look at chapter verse 10, it says, when that which is perfect comes, then it will cease, because we don't need to speak in tongues. We don't need to say, because we have Jesus in our presence. Jesus be talking to us. See, but the devil tricked them. You know why? Because when you speak in tongues, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through your mouth and through your vocal cords. And I said, Lord, I went to that, and that teacher said, that pastor down there in Savannah, said, go down into the altar and before you go down there, Brother John, you make sure that you write with love. Are you hanky-panky? Are you evil? Are you just praying like you Mr. Man and all that stuff? Are you really? I said, heck yeah. I ain't stupid. I've been raised by a holy moly grandmama. I said, excuse my French, but I don't care how fine the woman may be. If it ain't my wife, I ain't going to bed with her. I ain't going to bed over her little dookie. He said, I laughed. I said, I'm serious. I said, no woman going to cause me to go to hell because she looked good to me and I had some sex with her. My grandma didn't raise no fool. I ain't going to spend eternity in hell over some good-looking, fine, sexy-looking woman. Mm-mm. And some of them not going with men. Now, that's really a perversion. And that's a sodomite, a modern-day sodomite going to bed with another man, screwing him in his behind. That's perverted. And God called it abomination. And I don't care what mankind says, but you're going to hell as soon as you die. Look, sticking your thing in another man's butt. And that's not normal. So, you know, the devil has to do everything. But what I'm trying to say is, tongue is relevant for us today. And not only that, but it's going to only be person going to get it is the one who truly living it, not just preaching it or talking it, but one who's really living it and speaking it, carrying it out in his body, soul, and spirit. And then when he said, Lord, I want to learn to speak, touch me. And just like when he said, well, John, are you born again? I said, yes, I am. Do you know what I mean by being born again? You don't believe me. Tell me. I said, that's a person who has confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, not all that. But he asked Jesus to forgive him all his sins. And then finally, to ask Jesus to forgive him and come into his heart and be his or her Lord. And he said, that's right. You got to pronounce that Jesus is the Son of God. Second, that you Second, that you must believe that, and you must confess your sins to him. Say, I'm sorry for all that crap I did, Lord. Forgive me out of my manly flesh. And then the biggest thing next is, Lord, I ask that you save me. Come into my life and now, Lord, and save you. Then and only then, Jesus washing you of all your sins, and that's when the Holy Spirit step in and your body become the temple of the Holy Spirit. See? So I say, he says, now, and he said, you don't have to, I don't have to ask the question because the Lord already told me, you don't have no sin on you, and you really love the Lord. I said, you better believe it, because my grandmama beat the snot out of him. He said, I laughed. He said, go down there, which one gift you want? I thought I would trick the devil. I mean, trick the Lord. I said, let me see, you got the gift of word, wisdom, gift of knowledge, the gift of this, and the gift of teaching, the gift of wisdom, and all this stuff. I said, I'm going to ask the tongues, because I've been taught this all year that doesn't exist. I'll find out now. So I went down there. I said, Lord, I said, what are you going to ask me for? I said, I want the gift of tongues. He said, well, go ahead and ask you. I said, Lord, give me the gift of tongues. I thought I had it, boy. I said, I got him now, got him. Ain't nobody going to speak in no tongue, because they're doing it out there just babbling. They ain't speaking no tongue. I said, Lord, give me the gift of tongues. And then about 20 minutes later, Brother John, I don't know how you speak in tongues. I said, he hasn't given it to me yet. He gave it to you when you were born again, spirit filled. You gave it to you when you told him that you believe in him, that he's the Son of God. From the day you were born, accepting him, and really lived his life. I don't talk about a hanky-panky so-called woman or man of God. I'm talking about one who's really, really, really a woman or man of God. From what I understand, from what you're telling me, you really love the Lord. I said, amen. He said, let's go and thank him. I said, thank him. Yeah, you received it. You became eligible when you confessed your sins and told him that you sold out for him. I said, okay. I said, Lord, I believe it. I didn't know what to believe because I work under this pastor for 10 years, this one here 10 years, and this one so many. And he all said, we have a certain word. I said, I don't know what to believe because they got doctorate degrees and everything. And I just don't know what to believe anymore, you know. And God says, they're in error, my son. Receive it. And when he said that, next thing I know, he said, now praise me. I said, Lord, I praise you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you with all my shit. Que dia de cala para siema. Que dia de cala para so. Coli he si que dia de cala para qui. Na cala para so. E mi si si que dia de cala para ola. Cala. Que dia de cala para si que dia na cataro por lo sola marisa. Que mi si si que dia cala. No cotine si que dia de cala para. And I cried and cried and cried. I could stop speaking in tongues for about 2 days. I didn't even go to work. Because every time I open my mouth, I say, and they say, hey, honey, I say, I want to say good morning. I say, I believe she could yap, but I put also Korea, they could be, she said, shut up, and she laughed. And then she said, I want it too. She got it. And my children said, I want it too. And they went to that, and then we went back down there, and they got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so both my kids speak in tongues, you know, praising the Lord. But don't be mad at your pastor because he's teaching what I was taught. Just like the Lord says, some of the ministers I know nowadays don't even go to seminary. You know why? The Lord says, that one is not of me. He's going to teach you false doctrine. They don't know me personally. They're just trying to, they heavyweights. They think they're heavy. And they go, the word means this and the word means doctrine. The word means this and the word means that. And they're interpreting from their mind, not from the interpretation of the Holy Spirit. So you got teachers and you got preachers, you got evangelists. You got all folks in their life teach from their and share and minister from their mind as opposed to the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about every occupation. I'm not just saying a minister. This ain't the only kind of works in this position in this world. I mean, you got deacons, you got evangelists, you got choir singers, you got directors of this kind of program, directors of that kind of program, and you got just plain old civilians who are well noted in their church, you know, positions of status and position. And when they open my well, the word says, and they don't know. They reason, they come from their intellect. Because you got a lot of people who are very intellectual and brilliant, but that don't mean they're spiritual. Just because you're intellectual don't mean you're spiritual. It's two different things. Okay? What time is it? Oh, I got 15 more minutes. So remember, you don't have to speak in, I mean, just because you don't speak in tongues, I don't mean you don't believe that lie, but if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. No, that's not true. God gives to those who desire with all their heart and spirit. And when you speak in tongues, and especially the minister friends I know, sometimes you're about to close, you know, he said, well, let us stand for the benediction. Everybody, all 1,200 stand up. And then all of a sudden he goes, Heshe kariana kala para sika ni she kiriane katapala. Kariane heshe kahali ala para he. Hekeshi kaka lo niane katapara sima. Koliana ko shoko rinaka. Si kiriane katapara siyama kola. Shikiriate, in the name of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the pastor looked at me and said, don't look at me. I just speak in the tongues. God didn't give me an interpretation. I don't have that gift yet. And then somebody said, Pastor, may I? And said, oh, hi, sister, so-so. Well, I never told you, but I speak in tongues, and God gave me a gift of interpretation, but I know what you said. And then somebody, we were on the other side of the church, and I know what he said, too. God gave me the comprehension. So when this sister, I just better tell you what the person said in tongues, God gave me the interpretation to make sure that that person didn't take your tongues out of whack, that he misinterpreted. Because God, when God gives somebody interpretation when it's somebody speaking tongues, God would give it to another person because God's protecting his word, see? Because somebody may just feel like they heard from God. Well, the pastor said, bless you, my children. Bless your sons, blah, 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 so they can be noticed. And then God comes back and say, and then another person get up and say, no, sir, you're lying. That wasn't the Lord. That was your flesh. That was your pride. What God really said is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So when somebody gives interpretation, God always gives it to two people, two persons, to protect what the false one said. But if the false one's right, the second bit of say, he's right on, our pastor. The Lord told me, what the Lord told me was the exact thing what he spoke, that kind of thing. That's how God protect his ministers. And you don't have to be just ministers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking just ministers. I'm talking to everybody who say they love the Lord, okay? So I got 10 more minutes. So there's a lot of other things I want. Oh, you have the gift of miracles. Well, that's few and far between. You got some people who really believe God. I mean, can you imagine God say, you see that crippled man over there? Go lay hands on him and heal him. That's all coming here. Uh-uh, not me. You know who that fool is? I ain't going to tell him, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed, be healed, be healed. And the person gives you, oh, the Lord said to you, praise the Lord. So, yes, let me lay hands on you, darling. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And then nothing happened. You know, to see, nothing happened. Then they say, you are a religious fanatic, pastor, sister so-and-so, and brother so-and-so. Like I say, I'm not talking just to pastors. I'm talking to everybody who said they're Christians. And so, that thought come here. I ain't going to lay hands on that person all these times. Be healed in the name of Jesus and all this stuff. And I've seen ministers where they lay hands on a person who they walk up to the pulpit and say, who want to be healed? And a person get up and the family members all go, well, I ain't really tell you to get up. I believe this minister. That person get up and his one leg might be 3 inches longer than the other leg. And somebody say, and then the pastor say, somebody can't come up with a ruler and just run back to the office and bring a ruler and measure one leg might be 3 inches a little longer than the other. And then the people see it, they might invite somebody to come up from the congregation. They say, sure. Say, no wonder you kind of wobble a little bit. I thought you was having knee problems. You know, one leg just a little, 2 inches or 3 inches longer than the other. And then so the pastor, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, say, all right, give me 2 chairs. And 1 chair sitting up there, another chair facing. And they say, tell the pastor, tell the guy to come up, or the man, the woman to come up. And they sit there and they lay their both legs across on the other chair. And then the pastor would pray with them, take the anointing oil, anoint them on the forehead, say, Jesus, I believe you're telling me to do this. I don't feel like I'm being a fool. I'm going to make myself look like an idiot. No, it's about the poor man. So he can make that leap. Because when you think those thoughts, nothing would happen. But this is a gift of faith, too. Not just saving faith, but the gift of faith to believe God. And so that pastor lay hands on that person, put the oil, make the sign across on that person's forehead, and say, in Jesus' name, I believe, Lord. I believe you're telling me to do this. Not out of pride, but you telling me this. And he'll lay hands on that person, pray, and people see the person's leg grow right there in front of them. And the person stand up, and there's no more wobbling. See? But that when I say the gift of faith, that's not faith to believe Jesus God. That's faith to believe God when God tells you to do something, so you tell my own makeup. Now, that's the hardest one. That's the hardest one to deal with because you're, now, did I really hear the Lord? Or really, that's my pride, that's my flesh, because I feel so sorry for that person. I'll really look like a stupid idiot, get to be healed in the name of Jesus. And the person looking at me and said, poor man, the guy done lost his mind. You know, you lose half your friends and you lose your ministry too, get him to be healed. See, but the one who will be healed is the one who really say, I really believe this is God by the Spirit of God, working in miracles and having the gift of faith. And then the last gift, the Holy Spirit gives it as a gift of tongues, and that's when a person speaks. The Holy Spirit is the one that interprets. Okay. So let's see. I got 10 more minutes. What do I want to share? All right. One other thought I want to say is this: we all know that the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of Truth, right? And he's also known and called the Comforter, to be specific. So I want to talk about those two things, and then I'm going to finish. I still got a whole lot of stuff to do. I'm just going to have to go to the person and the minister of the Holy Spirit, part two. This is part one. So we all know that the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of Truth, and he's also known as what? The Comforter. Now, as the Spirit of Truth, he comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In spirit means that you are sold out. Your spirit, man, the one that's going to leave your body when you die, is the one who took over your flesh. Our flesh, no way, Jose. You can go to hell if you want to, but I'm your spirit, and I'm going to be with the Lord when you die and rot in the casket there, fleshly, kind of thing. The Spirit of Truth, he comes to those, that's another name for the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth and the Comforter. As the Spirit of Truth, he comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's in spirit, that means you for real, okay? I don't mean you got your double tongue. You tell people they want to hear what makes you sound religious. Well, hey, deacon, hello. Yes, I'm deacon. I'm the head deacon, you know, and that kind of stuff. The Spirit of Truth, he comes to those women or men or children who worship the Lord in spirit. I mean, you love him and you really go and you cover his word. You worship him in truth. And you will not be the counselor of those who are indifferent to the faith in their commitment to the truth. In other words, you have to be really sold out totally to him. Sold out. Sold out. That's what he is. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He don't play. And he'll speak to you. But remember this. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's going to say, sister, blah, blah, blah. Tell him this. Sister, blah, blah. I want you to do this. Sister, blah, blah. Go there. Sister, so. You know, these kinds of things. No. You won't hear nothing like this. Hey, this is the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. No, it comes in your thought. You go, well, I'm thinking this. And remember, the Holy Spirit, Father God, and they speak into your spirit. Sometimes they talk to you all the way, say, hey, this is what you need to do. But the majority of times, he speaks to you through your thoughts. So why am I thinking that sometimes out of nowhere, you be thinking, you know, you ought to do this, you know that. And then all of a sudden, you find, wow, I'm glad I thought of that. I did not think about it. I can do this, you know. And you're doing something, you don't know why you did it, and then it turned out to be a plus for you and stuff like that. That was because of the Holy Spirit, see? That was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, he comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. See, it said he comes. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. He who comes to you, hanky-panky line. You hail Mary one day and hail Satan the next day. It don't work. You'll never hear it as long as you live. The Spirit of Truth, he comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He will not be the counselor of those who are indifferent to the faith in their commitment to the truth. You can't play hanky-panky because the Holy Spirit is in your body. Well, only up to a certain time, because if you remember what the Bible says, when we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, born again, our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if you're doing something with that temple, you think the Holy Spirit will stay there while you smoking your weed and having sexual activities? You know, stuff like that. And the Holy Spirit ain't going to be laying your body while you lay on top of that woman or while you lay on top of that man. Please, give the Holy Spirit a break. My God. When you kidnapping, when you shoplifting and all these other kind of things, or when you lying, it got to come out of your mouth and the Holy Spirit, Lord have mercy, keeping a lie again. You know, kind of thing, a heaping a lie again. And look at him lusting. Look at her. Look, this Holy Spirit, I'm out of here. I'm going to get a part of me to possess him with another person who really, really loved the Lord, who they keep calling, oh, he ain't nothing but a religious fanatic. That's who the Holy Spirit hanging with, man. You don't want no hypocrites. Because his buddy Jesus, his co-partner, Jesus died for you and me. And the Holy Spirit ain't going to hang in a foul body. He's going to let that body go to hell while he just in another person who really loved the Lord. And then lastly, I want to say, he's also called the Spirit of Truth. Because what? He is the Spirit of Jesus, who is the truth. He is a duplicate of Jesus. Everyone that is of the truth here his voice. And as the comforter and the counselor, when he would sing this, as the counselor and the comforter, he encourages and leads all believers. Okay, what to do, where to go, and when to look out for yourself, where not to go, because he knows in danger for you. And also, not only he encourages and lead the believers, he also helps and comfort us as we will. Okay? He helps and he comforts us. Not only that, he comforts us in difficult situations. There's all kinds of problems and situations and everything else you wish you'd never been born, that you've been confronted with or got yourself into. But guess what? He will comfort you, because he will tell you exactly what you do, because the Holy Spirit is God. And he knows everything. He knows who's out to trick you, who's out to get you, who really want to bless you, who really love you, and who's full of crap. And then, two more things. He intercedes for us. John, what you mean by he intercedes for us? Well, some of your boss may call you to the front. Come here, I need to talk to you. I'm thinking about removing you. Let me tell you something. Why did you do this? Why did you do this? Kind of thing. I see he comforts us in difficult situations. He intercedes. In other words, somebody might falsely blame you for doing something wrong, and you know, good and well with you, but whoever did it really set you up to make it look like it was you who did it, you know. And so Holy Spirit will help you. He will intercede for you to make that person look like a fool who told me, I saw him do it. Yes, he did it, you know, because I saw it. I happened to pass by the window, and I saw this, and I saw him shoplift, and I saw this, and I saw and I heard him talk about you, child. Be lying. The Holy Spirit can tell you exactly what to say to make that person look like a fool. And the last thing, as our comforter and as our counselor, he remains with us forever. Even when we die and our spirit leave our body, that angel say, come, my child. And you reach out your hand, you lay in the bed, everybody's standing there looking at you, he's in the hospital in your bedroom, and you're about to die, you know, of cancer, just of old age. And you lay in there, and guess what? You be just like what my grandmama did. My grandmama always, but we know she died, so y'all need to come to the hospital because she's about to die in an hour or so. And we all went around the bed, circle, and we started praying. And then she says, pray for me, y'all. It's my time. And they say, what do you mean? Say, Jesus standing right there. And we all look and we can say, oh, he's standing at the foot of the bed. He says, it's time for me to come home. And that's my grandmama's reason. I give all the credit to why I know him personally. And we stood there and go, what? And we didn't see nothing. And then she says, then she quit looking at us and she's looking at the foot of the bed. You can see that she's looking at something. And she said, but Jesus. And she shook her head. She said, yes, Lord. And what we mean by that, I said, are you ready, my darling? And her, she said, everybody knew her. Say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. And then, her head went to the side, and she died right in our presence. And guess what? God just wanted to bless her. God wanted to show a manifestation of what happened. God made the curtains in the window go, the curtains started, and not one wind was blowing, but the curtains moving like the wind was blowing. And we know our mama, that Jesus took our mama home to be with him. And with that, I want to say, God praise each one of you. I still got a whole lot to say about the Holy Spirit. I ain't even finished yet. I got a lot more to say about the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth. And those who are not right, rededicate your life. And that's one thing about him. You ain't going to hell until you die if you're not living right. But he always, some people know what they're doing. Just keep on doing it and be repetitive and everything else. That's the mercy of God. You didn't die in that own life here and after you. After you did whatever it was that you're supposed to be doing, that's the mercy of God. He's waiting and waiting and waiting. He said, okay. And then see, God can see us when we're born to the day we're 80, 90, how long we are to live. But he knows that sometimes he'll grant us extra days because he says, you know, if I give this person one more week or two, I know they're going to get saved. Because he can see from the beginning of your life to the end. He said, there's no need to let her live or him live any longer because I can see 20 generations ahead right now. And this joker never going to accept me and believe who I am. They're going to play hanky-panky, go to church and play holy, holy, and do all this his or her crazy thing. I'm just going to take her out right now. All he's doing is sending other people to hell because they're looking at him or her. And they say, well, he's doing it, must be, it's okay to be like her or him. And so you call somebody to fall because they're looking at you and you say you're a Christian, but they know what you're doing. And especially if you got children. Children see what you're doing too and hear what you're saying. So you're cussing and everything else. So your kids don't know what to believe, see? And so they'd be backslides, oh, mama. And then before you know it, the child's sneaking cigarettes out of your pack and smoking around the corner somewhere and everything else. Why don't I turn around and cuss you out? You don't tell me what to do. you know, that kind of a thing. So remember, God loves us. He loves us all. But if you want the gift of tongues, then you got to live right and tell God you're sorry for all your sins. And to protect yourself, what I do is every night before I go to bed, because we all not perfect, know the Bible, you know, 100%. We all still learning. We all still children of God. And so every night before I close my eyes, I get on my knees and say, Lord, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins, known and unknown. You see, so I'm covering myself because nobody's perfect. I don't know the Bible from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation. I may have sinned against the word, don't even know it. So to cover my little butt, before I close my eyes to go to sleep, I said, Lord, I asked that. I don't have to. I did this, and I said this is the first night. No, he knows what you did. I just say, forgive me of all the sins that I've committed, because you may have lied, exaggerated about something. Did you do this? Yes, sir, boss, I did it. And that's a lie. But you did save your life, but that's a lie. And you look at Revelation 21:8, it says all lies even go to hell. That's what it says. That's the hardest one I had to accept. But even liars going to hell. I said, guess so. You don't want nobody up there. Hey, you look so good today, child. God and Jesus don't want to hear that crap up there. You know, kind of thing. So remember, I ask you to forgive me for all the sins that I've known. That's my getting mad at somebody or jealous at somebody and wish I can get even, but I know I can't do it because I go to jail. But I still have it in my heart that I wish I could kick his or her butt, you know, kind of a thing. So he knows our heart. He knows our spirit. So I say, forgive me of all the sins that I've committed knowingly and those unknown. In other words, I might say something, I've done something, I behave in such manner that that's not in agreement with the word of God. So with that being said, I just want to hope that you learn something out of this. And I'll check with Brother Emmett to see when I do part two. This is part one. And the reason I didn't finish it because, you know, I was out of habit thinking I had to say everything in one night. And I'm going, and Rob, he said, I don't understand what he said. He just spoke too fast, you know, kind of thing. So I've learned to slow down. And by me slowing down, I noticed that what I'm supposed to teach goes now into part one, sometimes part two, and sometimes part three, because part three is just when I get carried away and just love the Lord. And I say more that I need to, but the Lord said, say this too. I want you to share this too, you know. So, and at first when I started, I tried to say everything in an hour or hour and a half. And half the people say, Mr. John just went too fast. I didn't understand. I couldn't even write nothing down. You know, I couldn't even spell one word. He's gone about 5-6 more paragraphs, kind of a thing. But have patience with me, and I've learned to slow down because I get excited sometimes, boy, and I go like a machine gun. But God bless you all, and I'll get with Brother Emmett and see when he wants me to teach part two about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. Good night.